Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
This time, we want to welcome all of our audience that will be watching this on whatever platform you may be joining us today. We've got an interesting topic today. I want to talk about the epitome of progressive Christianity. Yes, we are still riding this horse, and I will continue to ride this horse, and I will continue to sound the alarm, and I will continue to discuss this until the body of Christ is aware of this. Progressive Christianity is the new cancer in the body of Christ that is spreading. It is invasive, and it is taking over the church as we know it. And I am very concerned that if the remnant church, the remnant body of Christ, does not inform itself and educate itself and speak out and stand on the true, authentic word of God, then our generation as we know it and our children And the children's children, the next generations, are in big trouble. So I'm going to talk about this today. What is progressive Christianity? You've heard us talk about this. Again, we're going to refresh some of y'all's memories, and we're going to educate some new folks that are watching today. Progressive Christianity, simply put, is a modern movement that has picked up speed. It's picked up momentum. It focuses strongly on social justice and environmentalism and often includes a revision of scriptures. That's important. Let me say that again. The progressive Christianity movement strongly emphasizes social justice and environmentalism. And it includes the revision of scriptures as we know it. For example, the Bible does place an emphasis on visiting orphans and widows in distress, according to James 1:27, and to look over or to protect, by essence, the environment or the earth that God has entrusted us with, Genesis 1:28. However, progressive Christianity does not ascribe to the biblical sound doctrine of the inerrancy of scripture. In general, they do not believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. Instead, progressive Christianity more so tends to emphasize what is known as, listen to this, collective salvation over the biblical concept of personal salvation. Let me say that one more time. There is more of an emphasis on collective salvation than personal salvation. What does this even mean? Again, the Bible, the Word of God, is clear and is clear on the fact that God redeems individuals who believe and put their faith and trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, and rescues them or delivers them from an eternity of separation from him, thus going to hell. However, collective salvation, by contrast, puts the emphasis on the restoration of entire cultures and societies to what progressive Christians believe is the correct, here it is, socioeconomic structure, namely Marxism, which in essence is a theory of economics and politics developed by atheist Karl Marx from unbiblical assumptions. Again, the bottom line is, guys, it is heavily indoctrinated and inundated with politics and social justice and environmentalism. Now, this, I want to give you, again, what is the name of this today? The epitome of progressive Christianity. So I want to show you an article that came out. And when I saw this, and when we read this, and I shared this on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, I knew that this was a perfect example to give, to have a discussion about and talk about this. Jen Hatmaker, who calls herself a, quote, Christian author and speaker. She's been around a while, has come out, and we'll give you a little bit more of a biography on her in just a second, but I want to read this article. Quote, keep in mind, Christian author and speaker Jen Hatmaker has now put her voice in support for abortion, calling any opposition of it, quote, political theater. She went on to say that, quote, pro-life lawmakers should provide a multitude of subsidies from free childcare to marriage counseling. Hatmaker, who herself is a mother of five, has voiced her support for Roe versus Wade, according to the Christian Post, after a leaked U.S. Supreme Court opinion suggests that the landmark decision that legalized abortion appears to be overturned. The overturning of the 73 Supreme Court judgment will cause, quote, harm, and not just emotional harm, physical and legal harm, according to Hatmaker on her own personal blog. Now, Hatmaker, if her name rings a bell to you, it's probably because she made headlines back in 2016, and we shared this back then, when she came out affirming her support for same-sex marriage. So again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about social justice, environmental. This is what this is talking about here. She went on to claim that quote, making abortion illegal doesn't lower abortion rates. Quote, it simply makes them more dangerous, she argued. And quote, and dangerous for whom? One in four American women have had an abortion. So dangerous for your daughters, your sisters, your best friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your church friends, and of course, those of you reading with your quiet, private, personal history here, as it should be, yourself, quote, it will be disproportionately dangerous for women of color and unresourced women, as all social ills are. So Hatmaker further argued that abortion is a choice women make for, quote, endless personal reasons, including the health of the mother, the health of the baby, rape, incest, viability, financial instability. Really? Financial instability. So it's not reckless to be financially unstable and be having children when you know you're not financially stable. So it's justified because you made a stupid decision to get pregnant when you don't have no business getting pregnant because you can't afford to have a child, or you're in an environment that's not conducive to raise children. Hello? Is this too strong for you today? Is this too much truth? Listen, we got a lot of people that are having babies that don't have no business having babies. We got a lot of daddies, but we don't have many fathers. There's a big difference. It's amazing how these individuals get themselves in this trouble. They get themselves in these predicaments, and then they come after the system when it no longer enables them to continue in the lifestyles of recklessness and carelessness as they've continued to do all these years. So I listen, I would hate to stand before God knowing that I have shed the blood of innocence, taking the life of an individual because of financial instability. Well, God, I knew I couldn't support this child, so, you know, I had to do what I had to do. Really? Quote, a dangerous home environment. Again, why? Hello? Lack of help. And of course, reasons that are theirs alone, as are their bodies. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what's being propagated by those who are protesting, right? And again, this is coming from a, quote, Christian author and speaker. She went on to say, this is intensely personal and private. And women deserve agency and choice. And can I just stop here for a second? It's amazing how this is personal and this is private, and it's none of your business whether I choose to do this or don't do that. But it's amazing how when it comes to other factors of your health, it's everybody's business whether or not you have been inoculated from something or not. Oh, I'm going to preach it anyway today. It's only... Listen, it's amazing the double standards that are being pushed. It's amazing how things are not your business and they're personal, but when it comes to other things, it's not. You don't have a right for privacy and you don't have a right to conceal that. Hypocrisy at its finest. This is intensely personal and private, and women deserve agency, and choice, not only with their bodies, but over the decision to parent for the rest of their lives. Anti-abortion advocates have every right to their convictions, but those convictions should only apply to their bodies, their families, and their futures. Hatmaker called the legislative opponents to Roe political theater. Really? Quote, if this rabid energy was genuine, if it had any integrity, it would come baked in with the fiercest and staunchest advocacy for free birth control, comprehensive sex education, maternal health care, and paid maternity leave. Last time I checked, they have that available. And last time I checked, that stuff was being circulated and handed out in public schools without the parents' permission or their consent. So I don't know where she's been at, but I'm not seeing a lack of this. This list included subsidized childcare, affordable housing, marriage counseling, and family support systems, guaranteed food security, victims' rights for all the rape and incest survivors forced to carry their abusers' babies, subsidized medical care for all the women forced to carry a baby to the detriment of their own health or that of their baby, life insurance for the families whose mothers died in forced childbirth, and every conceivable support for a mother, baby, and family from birth until forever. Again, I don't want to get into this too far with all this. I'm simply telling you, again, I have warned about this. Even in one of our recent podcasts, I said, you watch and see if you will not see more and more and more progressive Christians, whether that be authors, speakers, artists, musicians, pastors, teachers, whatever. You're going to see more and more of them in the name of progressive Christianity come out and take side of and support topics, subjects, and things that the Word of God makes clear on. The Word of God calls wicked, abominable, sin, abomination, and so on. again, I've pointed out to you, I want to read this scripture again. This is 2 Timothy 4:2-4. This is what's happening right in front of our eyes. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2-4, he tells the body of Christ, preach the word. I said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. I said, convince, rebuke, and exhort. We want to leave the rebuke out because that's too uncomfortable and it makes people feel weird and it convicts them. It says, with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come, and we're here, when whoever this group is, will no longer endure sound doctrine. I'm going to pull this away for a second. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute about the word endure. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. The word endure here, I looked it up, and it means by definition, without giving in, willing to suffer and endure hardships and great pain, and to regard with acceptance or tolerance. In other words, you ready for this? The time will come when there is going to be a group of professed believers. Oh, let me pull it back up because I gotta have the visual for you to see this. They will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time, and we're in it, that professed Christians will no longer be able to tolerate or endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up, they will accumulate, they will collectively gather for themselves teachers handpicked that will tickle their ears, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. And they will be turned aside to fables. Again, this is where we're at, guys. Progressive Christianity. I'm still riding this horse. We've been riding this horse for a couple weeks now. Progressive Christianity is this is the seed that the enemy has come in and sown into the kingdom, into the field. While the true remnant church has been sleeping, the tares are among us. The goats are among us. The counterfeit is among us. Listen, Paul goes as far as to say in the book of Acts, he said, after my departure, I weep, even now I weep, knowing that after my departure, ravenous wolves will come into the flock and devour the flock. Now notice he said, after his departure, the wolves will come in and devour the flock. Notice he didn't say that the wolves would be able to come and penetrate into the flock and devour the flock as long as his presence was there in the church. You know what that, listen, Paul is a picture of sound doctrine. Paul is a picture of the remnant church, the remnant ecclesia. And he's saying the time will come when I will be removed from the equation. I will be absent. And in my absence, it will give foothold to seduction and deception and falsehood. And they will come in and they will begin to devour the flock. And listen, more and more preachers and teachers and authors and musicians and people that bear the name of Christ are buying progressive Christianity. They're getting on the train. This train is picking up speed. It's moving along and it's going faster, and more and more and more are getting on board of this. Why? Because it's political, and because it's social, sociably acceptable, and it doesn't rock the boat. Let me go back to the word endure. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not willing to embrace sound doctrine. Listen, in a culture where right is wrong and wrong is right and light is dark and dark is light, sound doctrine is a thorn in the flesh of everything that is not of God. Sound doctrine is irritable to the wolves. It's irritable to the goats. It's irritable to the tares. What am I talking about? John said, because men loved darkness, they refused to come to the light. For everyone who comes to the light loves God and loves the word, and they will embrace the light, so that their good deeds be made manifest. But those who are in darkness hate the light, because the light exposes their evil deeds that are done in darkness. Thus, listen, it is a indictment to any believer, any individual who calls himself a believer, if you can no longer endure sound doctrine, my question is to you, what happened? When did you backslide? When did you turn from the gospel to another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel? Because remember, when you first got saved and you first gave your heart to the Lord, that gospel broke your heart. It took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and old has passed away. But sometime from point A to point B, something has happened. There is a lot. Now listen, don't get me started on this. I know there's believers out there that call themselves believers and they were never saved. But I'm also telling you, there is individuals who they began in the faith, but they shipwreck the faith. That is a term that the Apostle Paul used. He names individuals by name and he calls them out in his writings in the New Testament. And he says, so and so has shipwrecked the faith, having loved this present world. And that gets me to the next part. Endure. Endure sound doctrine. They will not be able to endure sound doctrine. They will not be, listen to this, they will not be willing to suffer and endure hardships and great pain because of the gospel. The true gospel is going to cost you everything. If any man desires to follow after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. But listen, when you've been sitting at the wrong table and digesting the wrong gospel, you will no longer be able to tolerate the pure, unadulterated, unfiltered, unsaturated word of God. It will become detestable to you. You will not be able to tolerate it. You will not be able to endure it. So what do? Because of your own desires, because you want to remain in your adultery, you want to remain in your pornography, you want to remain in your fornication, you want to remain in your alternative lifestyle, you want to remain promiscuous, you want to remain as a drunkard, you want to remain as a thief, you want to remain in the very lifestyle that Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary to get you out of. You want a free pass, and you want to get into heaven free pass and get out of hell free pass. You want a savior, but you don't want a Lord. So because of that, because of your own desires in remaining in your same lifestyle, I'm going to reject the true gospel, and I'm going to cleave to, I'm going to gravitate towards a new gospel, a new culturally accepted movement in the body of Christ, that I will no longer stick out as a sore thumb. I will no longer be a thorn in everybody's flesh, because I don't have any friends, Pastor, because I don't get drunk like they do. I don't go to the bars like they do. I don't go to the clubs like they do. I don't fornicate like they do. I don't live alternative lifestyles like they do, even though they call themselves a Christian and they're on the worship team. They're on the platform. They are a deacon. They are an author. They are a speaker. They do these things in name. They're in Christ, but in their works, they are abominable. And because of that, I'm a thorn in their flesh. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to sit with me. Nobody wants to hang out with me. Nobody wants to partake with me and do anything or fellowship or go out to eat with me. They just write me off. And Pastor, I am tired of being the black sheep of the family, the black sheep of the church, and the odd one out and not popular and any of these things. So again, I'm not able to endure what the cross has cost everything for me to follow Christ for. And because I'm not able to endure that, I'm looking for an alternative gospel. I'm looking for a gospel that has a Jesus that says he loves me and he accepts me, and he loves me for who I am. And he loves me so much that I don't have to change anything about me. I don't have to change my lifestyle. I don't have to leave the friends I'm with. I don't have to stop the addictions that I'm addicted to. I don't have to do the things that the Apostle Paul said would get me out of heaven. Instead, I'm accepted by this new movement with this new Jesus and this new gospel, because I can't endure the true word. Now, I want someone who's going to scratch my itching ears. So I'm going to get on Google. I'm going to get on Facebook. I'm going to get on TikTok. I'm going to get on Twitter. I'm going to get on Instagram. And I'm going to start doing a search for a church that fits my lifestyle and what I like. And what I want, not what Christ wants for me, but what I want him to do for me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to start building a playlist. First, a playlist. I'm going to build a playlist of all the teachers that are going to keep my ears scratched so they don't have to itch anymore. They're going to scratch every impulse. They're going to keep me comfortable. They're going to pat me on the back. They're going to tell me how great I am. They're going to tell me how blessed I am. They're going to tell me all these good things that I want to hear. And once I've generated that playlist, I can have my own personalized signature playlist. And then everybody else that gets on my nerves and always wants to preach that hellfire and brimstone and wants to preach about sin and preach about repentance and preach about sanctification and preach about consecration and preach about all these things, I can, and holiness. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm just going to cut that all out. And I've got my own personalized playlist. And once I've generated my own personal playlist, now I can go shop for the church that I want. I can come in and I, just like a pair of jeans, I can go in, I can try. I'm going to keep the tags because I don't know if I'm going to keep them. And I, just in case, I'm going to try them out for a couple of weeks. I want to make sure they don't preach anything that's going to convict me of my sin. They're not going to talk about hell. They're not going to talk about sin. They're not going to talk about all this stuff. I just want to see if they are sociably embracing and acceptable. I want to see if they love everyone and all people and whoever they are, despite their lifestyles. So what happens? Eventually, mark my words, those individuals who do this, eventually they will turn aside and they will embrace what 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, they will be eating from the table of Satan himself. I can show you in the New Testament where the Bible says that even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light, and find it not strange and marvel not that even his apostles disguise themselves as false apostles going into churches. Now listen, what is an apostle? An apostle is someone who they established a church. They oversee a church. They run the affairs of that church. The Apostle Paul was an apostle over many churches that he planted in Corinth and Galatia and different places like it. So if the Apostle Paul was an apostle called by God, the Bible talks about false apostles that will go into the church and they, oh, you don't want to hear me. Listen, this is the problem with one well-known ministry that has, and because they had individuals on their staff who was false apostles overseeing churches or a church, and all the people now are suffering the price because that individual was leading them astray, turning them to another gospel, a sensual gospel, a deceptive gospel. 1 Timothy 4:1 calls them doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. And listen, there is no good news about it. If these individuals are not delivered from this and they continue on this course, guys, it will ultimately lead to them shipwrecking the faith. And again, if we read, when I was putting this together, I remember in the Gospel of Matthew, where it was actually in the book, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he gives this parable of the sower and the seed. And even in that parable, let me read this. This is in the book of Matthew. He talks about, and I'm not going to read all this verbatim, word by word, but I'm going to just kind of paraphrase. He said that there's, the seed is sown by the sower, some falls by the wayside, some in stony places, some among thorns, and others on good ground. And he goes on to tell them, listen, he says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. He said, I speak to them in parables. Now listen to this. And he says, thus it fulfills what Isaiah said. And this is what he said. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Are you listening to me? Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes have closed. Hearts growing dull. Ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes are growing closed. Or they're shutting. And this is a process. This doesn't happen overnight. This is what a seducing spirit does. Listen to what he says. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And he has no root in himself, endures only for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And he who receives it among thorns is he who receives it, hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Can I tell you that this example is not the seed being sown. Listen, by the wayside. This is not seed being sown in good ground. This is an example of seed being sown in the stony places and in the thorny places. Because here's, again, let me go back up to the word endure. They're not able to endure sound doctrine. Why? Ready? Because they have no root in themselves, and tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. Number two, it says they receive the word, but for a season, but because of the deceitfulness of riches. Are you listening to me? They become unfruitful. So again, a convenient gospel is a feel-good gospel that's always going to cater to your flesh and make you feel good. But there's coming a time, and we're in it, guys. I if I can't convince you by now, then listen, I would question whether or not you have the seed of this. I call it the seed of the serpent being sown into your heart, which is this progressive Christianity. Because I'm telling you, as it gets darker out there and persecution arises for the true gospel, persecution will come, tribulation will come. As it rises, as it continues, we're going to see who's really standing on the word and who's not. Are you going to be able to endure persecution? Are you going to be able to endure any type of tribulation, any type of trial, any type of hardship? Are you going to throw in the towel and say, you know, I tried that gospel, and it was just too hard, but I'm going to go over here because it doesn't cost me anything. It's not uncomfortable. It doesn't challenge me. It doesn't cost me to give up anything. And I can live the same lifestyle I've always lived, but I've got an ace in the back pocket. I've got a parachute Jesus that I can just pull the ripcord. Anytime I'm in trouble, he's there to bail me out. And then another problem we have is the corrupted prosperity gospel, in my opinion, is another seed of the serpent that has come in, and it has created a false gospel. So there's a lot, and because of these deceitful workers and teachers that are preaching for unrighteous gain, and they're using the name of Jesus for gain, they have convinced all these individuals that if they come to Jesus, they will become millionaires. They will become hyper prosperous. Now, listen, I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against God blessing you. You guys know that. Anybody that's new here, listen, I'm not against God blessing you, and I'm not against God prospering you, but I am against the corrupted corrupted prosperity gospel that teaches basically in a nutshell that Jesus is a slot machine with a lever that you go in and you put your money in, hello, your tithe or your offering or whatever you're manipulated to give a certain amount, X amount of dollars, and you pull that lever of Jesus, you pull that, come on, that casino Jesus lever, and all of a sudden, you, bam, you get that new Mercedes. Bam, you get that new Cadillac. Bam, you get that new multi-million dollar home like that preacher's got. Bam, you get the multiple Lear jets like the preacher's got. Bam, you got the Armani suits. Bam, you got all these things that the preacher has convinced you that you will get because he's manipulated you and told you that if you'll sow X amount of dollars into my ministry, then God is going to do X, Y, and Z. And it's leading people astray. So listen, what's going to happen when the kingdoms of this world collapse, when the stock market collapse, when Wall Street collapse, when the dollar collapses? Well, what's going to happen when we get over in the book of James chapter 5, when it says the rich will weep and howl for their miseries that's come upon them? because they've stored up treasures in the last days and it's not been towards God. What's going to happen? That, why do you think the gospel says store up your treasures in heaven where moths can't get to them and thieves can't break into them? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is why, listen, I will never stop telling people I am not ashamed of the blessings of God, and I'm not ashamed that our ministry has been blessed. And I'm going to tell you, one of the main reasons why our ministry is blessed is because we sow into other ministries. We sow into the orphans and the widows and the needy and the poor, and we do that. We are storing our treasures up in heaven. But I'm telling you guys, these corrupted seeds that have come into the body of Christ, the harvest is here, and I'm seeing people falling by the wayside because they have consumed, they have digested another gospel, and they have embraced progressive Christianity, and it is leading them astray, leading them into a path of destruction. So listen, I know this message is not a popular one. I know this is probably something you're like, man, I just wanted a word of encouragement. Listen, there is an encouragement word. Here is it. You want an encouraging word? Let me go back to what the Apostle Paul said. Here's an encouraging word for you. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. I want to tell every person under the sound of my voice that's watching, that's listening on the other end of this microphone, on the other end of this screen. If you are born again, you're a Bible believing, spirit filled, Holy Ghost led believer, here's your word for today. I don't care how culturally unpopular it is. I don't care if it doesn't set right with the progressive Christians and the progressive Christianity movement. I don't care if it's going to cost you friends. I don't care if it's going to make your family upset. I don't care if your pastor gets upset. Here's what you're going to do. Ready? Preach the word. Don't preach politics. Don't preach social justice. Don't preach all that stuff. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Come on. Don't just have a Bible so you can play the part in church. You need to be ready in season, out of season. You need the word in you. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Long suffering, meaning don't give up. Well, brother, I've been preaching. I've tried to convince everybody. I've rebuked people and lost friends and lost people. I've tried to exhort and they don't want to hear it. Well, that's why it says with long suffering and teaching. If Noah was here today, he would say, I can understand and I can relate. The whole world had lost its mind, and I was still preaching that it was going to rain and there was going to come a flood when it never did such thing since the beginning of creation. And people looked at me like I had lost my mind. Just like people look at you like you lost your mind when you tell them that there's coming a day when there's going to be a shout and a voice of an archangel and a voice from heaven speak and say, come up here, and a moment, a twinkle of an eye, we shall take off and corruption and put on incorruption, and we shall be with the Lord. They have mocked you. They will ridicule you, and they will tell you that you have lost your mind. But you have got to be found. No wonder it says in Matthew 24, he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I want to pull this up again. Again, if you've not yet, If you've not yet subscribed to our main website, please do that. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Both of those URLs are going to lead you to our main website. You can subscribe. You can get our daily digest there. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, please today. It's free. It's on Apple. It's on Android. Get all of our podcasts. You can listen. You can hear. You can watch them at your leisure. You can listen to them at your leisure. You can get all of our headlines. You'll get notified of every headline. You're going to get all the breaking news alerts. Every single thing will be at your fingertips. Please do that today. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry exhorts you, it edifies you, it informs you, it equips you on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can so listen, we don't believe in manipulation. You'll never hear me say crazy stuff like, I need 1,000 people to sow X amount of dollars. And the Lord said that there's 1,000 people. If you'll give this amount, then he's going to do this and do that. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe it's manipulation. Listen, I've been in this thing for at least 2 decades now. I know that game. I've seen it firsthand. I have walked out of churches that play that game. We will never do that. We believe the Holy Spirit, and we believe that if you're blessed and you're fed and you're encouraged and you're equipped and you're informed by our ministry, then the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. And listen, I don't even believe the Holy Spirit has to speak to your heart. I believe, listen, can I give you a revelation here? If you ever have the desire to sow into a ministry or give to a ministry or bless somebody in general, it will never be the devil that's going to tell you to do that. Listen, the devil is never going to tell you to sow a seed. The devil's never going to tell you to be a blessing. The devil's never going to tell you to help somebody. Hello? So I'm just saying that you do whatever's in your heart or whatever the Holy Spirit may lead you to do, and God will bless you for that. You can give 2 different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to right there on your screen, Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, guys, we're going to sign off for today. I'm going to pray a quick prayer and blessing over you. We will be off tomorrow on Wednesday, but we'll be back on here on Thursday, Lord willing. And I've got an interesting teaching. It'll either be on Thursday or Friday, depending on what headlines come out, because we may do a prophetic update on Thursday or some kind of information update or vice versa. We'll see what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. But nevertheless, either on Thursday or Friday, I've got a teaching that I want to show you that I think you'll be very blessed by, and I hope you'll be encouraged by it. And so be looking forward to that. Again, it'll either be on Thursday or this Friday. But until then, listen, I pray the Lord bless you, and Lord, be his blessing be upon you, his countenance be upon you. I pray his favor be upon you. I bind every assignment of the enemy and hell itself that would be perpetrated against you or your family. I come against every seed of corruption, every deceptive seed, every seducing seed. I come against any seed that is anything that is a hybrid seed of a gospel that is not founded in the Word of God. And if it's been sown in your heart, I pray that the Lord would abort that seed now in Jesus' name, and that the true seed of the Word of God would be conceived in your heart today, and it would bring forth a 30, 60, and 100-fold in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. We will see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.